Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with
Colin Hovde, the Producing Artistic Director of Theater Alliance.
And we're here to talk about Mnemonic, right? What are the dates on Mnemonic?
It runs through April 9th.
Awesome. Tell us about Mnemonic. What can we expect?
Well, Mnemonic is actually a wildly exciting theatrical journey for an audience. I think it's not like any other theater piece out there. It's a piece that was created over the course of 2 years by a company of artists. And they literally found one story and started digging into it. And they started asking questions about what does home mean? Where do we come from? On a micro level of like, who are my parents? Where is my home?
Right.
And on a macro level of humanity, where does humanity come from? And so the piece itself is about memory and imagination in trying to figure out where home is and where our origins are.
Yeah.
So it takes the audience on this magical journey with the discovery of the Eisman in 1991, if you remember Uzi,
sure.
In the Austrian-Italian Alps.
Yeah, yeah.
And the journey of what that means to humanity to find that ancient corpse.
Right.
And what that story is, and a very micro love story of this couple that has been disconnected as the woman tries to find out who her father was and go on the journey of connecting her past. So you see those two stories juxtaposed and interwoven.
The micro and the macro, the love story, and then the mankind's larger place with the Iceman and all that. Okay.
And woven into that are a number of different stories about migration, about the fact that humanity has been in migration for as long as humanity has been around,
right.
Forced or otherwise. Embedded in the piece is this question of what we call home, you know, and how we define it. And when we can't define it or we don't know what it is, we have to imagine what it is. Because if we can't define it, how do we move forward?
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't know what it is, we have to use our imagination to create it or recreate it every time we look back.
Right.
Yeah. So the piece itself, because it wasn't written by one playwright, because it was written by an ensemble.
How many playwrights?
There were 7 actors in the original ensemble. And they literally took the story of Uzi and then started to create stories around it and weave it together. So it's a 2-hour-long performance. And
intermission or straight through?
Straight through.
Gotcha.
But from the beginning through to the end, every couple minutes you shift to a different story, And you follow one through line. But it is wild the number of ways that you engage in that conversation about migration.
Mm-hmm.
And because the piece is about memory, that you experience the piece through the fragmentation of memory.
Right, because that's how we remember things, bits and pieces.
That's why it's called mnemonic, actually.
Okay.
It's because a mnemonic is some sort of a physical device. Right. You pick up a rock and it reminds you of something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in this piece, someone picks up a watch and bam, they're in a taxi, remembering a conversation they had with the taxi driver.
Right.
And they pick up something else and bam, they look at a chair and it reminds them of the story of the Iceman.
So there, all these little snippets are triggered by mnemonic devices. They see something and it triggers it. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really cool.
It's wildly theatrical, too.
Yeah.
So it's a piece that
explain sort of like what we see visually.
Yeah, I mean, visually, it's a really technological show. There's a lot of technology in the show. So there's projections, there's puppetry, there's movement. So it's a piece that that really takes you on a wild visual journey.
Combining different almost mediums in a way, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. And what I think is magical about it is this company that created it, Complicité, they're based in England. They're considered one of the best theater companies in the world. They just had a show up on Broadway called The Encounter, which was a one-man show on Broadway. And it was one of the most wild theatrical experiences I've ever had. Everybody wore headphones for the entire performance.
Really?
The entire performance was through the headphones. One performer talking directly into your ear.
Oh, so the audience was wearing the headphones?
The entire audience.
Wow.
So, and with that piece, with The Encounter, you didn't know when the performance started because that one actor walked out on stage and just started talking to you and saying, hey, we're going to start the show, turn off your cell phones. And then eventually the performance started.
Right, I see.
And Mnemonic is kind of the same way. It starts out with an empty stage, basically, a rock and a chair. And one of the actors from the ensemble comes out, starts talking to the audience, the house lights are up, and just has a conversation with you for like 10 minutes.
Mm.
And you're unaware of when the performance has already begun.
At first, you just you're not sure if he's just like introing,
giving
the show.
A lecture. Yeah. Exactly. And so, and in a way, the performance hasn't begun yet. It is Carlos standing there, right, talking to you, asking you questions about what it means to be American, what it means to remember something, what are your memories of this date or that date, and how do we piece together our memories? And then slowly the performance starts, and you're just taken on this wild ride. It's like no other theatrical experience ever.
It sounds like you guys do a lot of, I mean, both of these things you described, this and then the New York one, it's like very experimental kind of theater.
I would say that it's
shy away from that term.
No. I don't have a problem with that term. It's just, I think that term can sometimes alienate people.
Right.
And I actually think it's not experimental. It's really theatrical
theater.
Theater Alliance, 2 years ago, we produced a play called White Rabbit, Red Rabbit, which was a one-hour play written by an Iranian playwright, and it was a different actor every single performance.
Oh, cool.
So the actor walks on stage, they've never read the play. The producer hands them an envelope, and they open the envelope and pull out the play, and they start reading.
Wow, that's crazy.
And so they can't do any research, and once they've done it once, they never do it again.
So it's a one-off, like, in the moment.
Yeah.
Wow.
The stage is literally an empty stage with a ladder, a table, and a chair. That's all. And so we did this performance, and it was wild and beautiful. And yes, it was experimental in a way, but it was very specific about opening up dialogue. And that piece was written by an Iranian playwright who couldn't leave Iran. So he wrote this play so he could travel. He was a conscientious objector, so he decided to write this play because he couldn't get a passport because he was a conscientious objector.
But his play could get a passport.
So this play, it starts out with him saying, "Hello, my name is Nassim Suleymanpour."
Oh, cool.
It starts out from the actor embodying him. Mm-hmm. So a lot of Theater Alliance productions are not a kitchen sink drama.
Right.
You know, we're not doing a living room kind of thing.
Right.
We're finding a way to use the tools of theater to make it a unique theatrical experience.
And
I don't think it's experimental. I think it's just
boundary pushing, but more inclusive than what you would think of. Basically, let's not scare you away by saying experimental.
Well, it's not performance art.
Right.
And that's actually
it's not abstract, totally. Yeah.
In Mnemonic, there's actually a moment where in the beginning monologue, Carlos says, "Don't worry, there's going to be audience participation, but I'm not going to strip naked and squirt you with water." And like the 60s were a long time ago.
Right.
But it's engaging in that way. Because for me, theater is, and for Theater Alliance very much, theater is something that should be theatrical and should be different than other mediums.
Right.
When you go to see film, you're sitting there watching a two-dimensional screen and watching something that was created months ago. When you're seeing theater, you're breathing the same air as the performers. And that's, to me, a sacred thing. Without being pretentious, it's like, it's a really sacred thing. It's a ritual that we do. And so finding ways to make that a more unique experience is important to me, you know?
Absolutely. I want to dive more into sort of the, you know, what Theater Alliance does generally in a minute, but sticking on Mnemonic for a minute, just go more in, you kind of alluded to it earlier, but go more into sort of why the theme of migration is, I mean, this is a rhetorical question, but why is it so relevant right now?
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that I, as a theater artist personally, but also as the leader of Theater Alliance, ask myself is, in the current political climate that we live in, the amount of divisiveness in our country, the race relations and how complex they are and how much tension there is in this country, I have lots of questions about how theater can be a tool for dialogue and a positive tool for growing compassion and empathy. And I personally, as a theater artist, and I think that Theater Alliance doesn't want to produce plays that are pointing fingers and saying, you know, rah, 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 this, that, and the other
thing. Didactic, preachy.
Exactly. It's not interested in that. But what I'm interested in is theater that can open a doorway for us to have a more nuanced conversation. Right. So for me, Mnemonic isn't about building the wall, you know, or not building the wall.
Or
it isn't about
travel ban or anything.
The travel ban.
Right.
But it's about how important migration has been for all of humanity and how people have been migrating forced quite often. And one of the moments in Mnemonic that they really get to in trying to piece together Utsi's story is that they found an arrowhead in his back. They found defensive cut wounds on his arm. So they believe that he was fleeing a pogrom.
Oh, okay.
So the oldest corpse we've found of a human being was fleeing. I mean, like, so right. If that's what humanity has been doing for over 5,000 years, how can we grow compassion for what people are going through right now?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that the piece forces us to make a very personal connection to it. Yeah. And I don't want to be too specific about the opening moments
sure.
of the play.
No spoilers.
but in the opening moments of the play, you are given an opportunity to have a very personal connection mm-hmm. to some of the questions being asked. So it's not just, we're going to share these fragments with you, we're going to show you a beautiful production. It's, we want you to think about your life
mm-hmm.
and the specifics of your life, and then enter this journey and ask these questions. And I think what's beautiful about the play for me is that it asks so many questions. It's not telling you anything.
Right.
It's saying, what does it mean? What was he doing? Why was a man running away? Who are we? Where are we from? And it asks those questions in a really honest and open way.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Remind us the dates on the show.
It is, what is today? March 19th. Through April 9th.
And where do they go? Is in Southeast?
Yeah, where? It's in Southeast, just across the Anacostia River yeah. at the Anacostia Playhouse.
Okay.
It's 2020 Shannon Place Southeast. And our website is Theater Alliance with an ER, not an RE.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you got to yeah. I never know. You got to ask that exactly. distinction.
So it's theateralliance.com, yeah.
Okay, cool. And I assume tickets are on there. How much are tickets?
Yeah, we do two different prices for tickets, actually three different prices for tickets. We have $40 general tickets that you can buy online, and there's no service fees or anything. It's $40 online.
Okay.
$30 for students, senior, and military. Once again, no service fees or anything like that. And then we do this thing called radical neighboring, which is to open access to theater, because I know that when I go up to New York and I want to see a Broadway show, I can't afford $150 for a New York right. Broadway ticket.
$4,000 for Hamilton.
right, exactly.
I want to see the show. Yeah.
So for what we do is to try to open that access is we make sure that for every single performance, there's at least 10 tickets held at the door that are name your own price at every single performance.
That's awesome.
So even if the
show
is...
go quick?
They do. Yeah. But even if the show is completely sold out, if you show up at the door and there's those 10 tickets, you can pay $1 or you can pay $100.
Wow.
And 90% of the time, people pay what the normal ticket price would be. But every once in a while, somebody comes in and they're like, can I pay $5? And we're like, there's no judgment.
Have you ever had $100? Ever had a really big one?
No, not quite yet. But sometimes people do pay more than the yeah. average ticket price. And it's really about opening access and saying, theater isn't actually, I do nonprofit theater.
Right.
Theater Alliance is a nonprofit theater company. We survive on donations, mm-hmm. on the DC Commission on the Arts and Humanities, on mm-hmm. the NEA. We survive because people donate to what our mission is,
mm-hmm.
whereas New York and commercial theater is investors that want a return on their money.
Right.
So I don't do theater to sell a product.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am building a product that is a beautiful product.
Sure.
And yes, you do have to sell a ticket. But at the end of
that's
the day—
That's your vehicle. To,
exactly.
Yeah.
I actually want to share a story mm-hmm. and ask a question with mm-hmm. someone. And so to me, it's less about the ticket price. It's more about getting people in and saying, let's ask this question together.
Right.
So I'd rather have a wider audience mm-hmm. of socioeconomic backgrounds, mm-hmm. of racial backgrounds, of age backgrounds, mm-hmm. so that when we have the show, we have a multiplicity of voices in that room,
right.
and we can have a dialogue around that. Every one of our performances, there is an invitation to the audience to stick around and have a conversation. And those conversations after the performance, they're not about how did you memorize the lines.
Right.
What was the rehearsal process like? Those conversations, due to the kind of work that we produce, are about how did this piece resonate for you? What did it bring up for you? And when we have an audience that is, you know, Black, white, Latino, very young, very old, we get these conversations where, you know, a 60-year-old white man is talking to a 15-year-old Black child, you know? And like,
in ways they probably never would otherwise.
Never
yeah.
would otherwise, you yeah. know? And like, you get these really complex conversations in a safe space about dangerous topics, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, that's how we grow empathy. That's how we grow compassion. One person at a time by having conversations.
A safe space for dangerous topics. I love that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
How long have you been at, or tell us about Theater Alliance. How long have you been at it, and Let's take it back. Yeah. Before you were even involved, how far back does it go?
So Theater Alliance is a company started as a professional company in around 2001 on H Street Northeast. So
at Atlas or where was it?
No, it was before the Atlas was renovated at the H Street Playhouse.
Oh, okay.
So Theater Alliance in 2001 moved into this 99-seat black box storefront a block away. It's now a CrossFit, which is heartbreaking whenever you go to H Street and you see this.
You think a play about that. That's
exactly. But in that space where that CrossFit is at 1365 H Street Northeast, used to be a black box theater that Theater Alliance was in from 2001 to 2011.
Okay.
And
it's been a nonprofit the whole time?
Yeah. Okay. Before that, Theater Alliance started as a community theater, which is a regular evolution from community theater to for-profit. But a lot of the theater community really knows Theater Alliance as the professional nonprofit. So from 2001 to 2007, it was run by one artistic director. Then 2007 to 2010 by another artistic director. And then 2010 to 2011, the board ran the company itself.
Right.
And I took the company over in 2011. And when I took it over, it was a very small company. We still are a small company, but it was at the end of the recession. It had gone through some hard times. And really, when I took over the company, it was kind of a rebirth for the company. Hmm. We reshaped the mission. Within a year, we lost the H Street Playhouse. And our board president left our board and started the Anacostia Playhouse.
Okay.
And we moved over to Anacostia. So for the past 4 years, we've been in Anacostia with a newly reshaped mission. I've slowly been building up the staff. Our annual operating budget has grown by anywhere from 20 to 30% every year for the past 3 years. So we're at a place where we're able to pay artists more. We're able to do more ambitious work. And what's really great is we've gotten some recognition for that work. We won a grant from the American Theater Wing, the organization that does the Tonys.
Oh, awesome.
Called the National Theater Company Grant. And we've been nominated for many Helen Hayes Awards and have actually won a few in the last few years.
Nice.
And we've done some really adventurous works. I mean, one of the pieces, our mission is to do socially conscious, thought-provoking work that fully engages our community in active dialogue. We consider our community both the Southeast community, east of the Anacostia River, the Capitol Hill community that we were born out of, and the greater Washington, D.C. community. We don't have national aspirations at this moment, but we really look at this D.C. community as the community we want to have active dialogue with. So one of our pieces that we did 2 years ago called Occupied Territories was about the legacy of trauma our service members go under and how that trauma is passed on generation after generation to their family members. And it explored that through the lens of the Vietnam War. It was a one-hour performance piece that juxtaposed a woman whose father had just died, who had served in Vietnam, and when he first got to Vietnam. So you got to see the soldiers on the ground in 67, and you got to see her at his funeral dealing with boxing up all of his stuff. And over the course of we had veterans in the piece.
Oh, wow.
We have two veterans that serve on our board. And over the course of the run of the show, there were only 38 audience members for every performance. It's a very intimate performance.
Yeah.
Over the course of the run of the piece, we had Vietnam vets come to see the show and send us emails afterwards saying, I have shared with my family things now that I've never talked about.
That's so awesome.
So I mean,
that's got to make it worth it for you, man.
Oh, my God. And that's why I do theater. Yeah, that's that kind of dialogue. Yeah. And in the conversations after that particular show, there were sometimes like 20-year-old kids who knew nothing about Vietnam except for Apocalypse Now and Platoon.
Yeah.
And they're sitting next to an actual Vietnam vet. And one of the performers is an actual Vietnam vet. Or, I mean, not one of the performers, but one of the creative team. Mm-hmm. The director, her father, is a Vietnam vet.
Wow.
So we had these nuanced conversations where, and there were sometimes conscientious objectors who, after watching the piece, were like, I had no idea what these soldiers were going through, and now I actually understand a little bit more of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that piece, we're hoping that we can bring it back and tour it around the Washington, D.C. area.
Yeah.
We ended up doing it at Martha's Vineyard in a VFW hall.
Wow.
We actually went to the hall where these Vietnam vets meet every week with a therapist and performed it just for them.
That's so cool.
And that piece is getting a life. It's getting a production up
in New
York.
What's that one called?
It's called Occupied Territories.
Okay.
The way that our body has
right.
territories that are occupied by the trauma.
I so love it, man. You're always have there's always multiple levels to every title and everything.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah, hopefully that gets another, you know, run around here.
We're bringing it up to New York. A small theater company off Broadway that that is going to be doing a short run of it very soon.
Cool.
Later this year. And then our goal is to bring it back to hopefully get an NEA grant.
Yeah.
To bring it back for a tour to VFW halls.
Awesome.
So we're not even performing it for a theater audience necessarily.
Right.
We're going and performing it with the vets, for the vets.
Straight to the source. Yeah.
Having that conversation.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Well, look out for that in New York, but bring it back, you know, full circle to Mnemonic.
Yeah.
Who's in it? Who's the cast? Do you know the names off that?
Absolutely, absolutely. So the lead or the main person that we follow through it is his name's Carlos Saldana. He's a very talented actor. He's been in DC for some time. He's been in two different Theater Alliance shows with us. There's also Teresa Spencer, who went to the Academy of Classic Acting at the Shakespeare Theater Company. There's a number of very, very talented folks in it. John Reynolds, who is a company member of Dog and Pony DC, a local theater company. Vanita Kalra, who studied with Pig Iron Theater Company in Philadelphia, went to school at Yale, I believe she did. Elena Day, who has performed with Cirque du Soleil for 15 years. Michael Burgos, who just recently finished studying with Philippe Goulier, who teaches in France, a mime school.
Man, it's just all kinds of backgrounds.
And the one person that I should talk about all the designers as well,
but
the one person that is really incredible on the team, and I don't know how I could have done this without her, is Dodie DeSanto, who is our movement director.
Okay.
And she studied with Jacques Lecoq, who is this French corporal mime who basically taught all of the people who created this play.
Wow.
He taught for like 40 years. This form of movement that has informed so many different people. And Dodie studied with him for years in the 70s, 4 years in the 70s, I think it was, 3 or 4 years. And then she came back to D.C. and she started this little music club called the 930 Club.
You may have heard of it.
Yeah. So she started that and ran that for like 8 years.
Wow.
Back when it was on 930 9th Street.
The actual address.
Exactly.
930. Yeah.
So she has so many stories about that.
Wow.
And then she went back to France and studied with Jacques Lecoq again to learn his teaching pedagogy.
And, I don't think anyone knows that the founder of 930 Club went and did that and
she's
came
incredible.
Back.
Yeah, wow. Oh, my God. And she's been here in D.C. and she teaches at Catholic University.
So amazing.
Academy of Classic Acting at Yale. She teaches all over the place. And she's a force for passing on the legacy of Jacques Lecoq's teaching.
Yeah.
And so having her on the project has been really, really incredible. Really incredible. And then we have
doting on doting, man.
And then the design team that we have is just spectacular. Mm-hmm. I mean, specifically Tony Chizik, the set designer. He's so much more than a set designer. He's one of the best dramaturgs in this city or in this country. You know, he regularly designs at Ford's and Arena and these much larger organizations
than our
tiny little company. He was really excited by the project, and he just sunk his teeth into it. So it was a real wide variety of really talented individuals.
That's awesome.
Came together for the show.
And I bet your prop master is keeping busy with these mnemonic devices.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you've been generous with your time. I looked down. I was like, man, we've almost gone a half hour. That's when you know the conversation's interesting.
Yeah.
In closing, you know, why should they come?
I would say because it's like it will be like nothing you've ever seen in the theater, and you will always remember this theatrical experience.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to a number of individuals who saw the original production over 20 years ago, and they have told me, I will never forget XYZ moment. It took my breath away.
Wow.
And I'm a little biased because, of course, I'm part of the creative team for this production of this. But there is one, if not two, very specific moments in this play that when you see it, it'll take your breath away.
And we're not going to tell you what it is. You have to come out. How's that for a teaser?
Yeah.
Awesome. Colin, this was awesome. Thanks so much for coming in. Yeah. Everybody go check it out. Remind them the address and of the place.
Yeah, 2020 Shannon Place, Southeast.
Okay.
It's Theater Alliance at the Anacostia Playhouse.
Awesome. And the play is called Mnemonic. Come check it out. Thank you so much.